Well, I've read, I studied, I read, cried half the day today. Because when you get to thinking about Jesus, they showed a little clip on TBN of Jesus, you know, when he was beat, and he was, and you know, and then he, you know, having to carry that cross, and he was beaten, hurting, and that just, it just broke my heart. But even more than that, even they showed that clip, and they showed, they had like people acting, kind of, his mother, and she talked about, you know, when she had this little baby, and he was so perfect. She said, you know, every mother thinks her child's perfect, and he was perfect. And she was, they showed this little boy when he got a little bit bigger in the carpenter shop. He was always getting stuck and cut. They showed this little boy coming to her for, you know, how moms doctor everything. And she would doctor him, you know, and he had little tears flowing down his face, just like a little child in this enactment. I started crying, and because I was thinking of him coming in the fullness of time. He came of the virgin birth. He was born that little baby, the Savior of the world, and then grew up as that little child and was obedient to his parents. And until it was the time for his ministry, he was obedient to his parents. And it just touched my heart so that I just cried and cried and cried, thinking of his love for us. And, you know, I've been asking the Lord to give me more compassion. And I tell you what, I felt compassion today. I will never know the compassion that he has for us, I know. Maybe when we get to heaven, I don't know. But I tell you, they showed this little boy that had leukemia. And, you know, it was his last days. They'd done everything. They thought he was doing really good at one point. And then he just, went backwards. And they were just any time, you know, for... and they were trying to do, let him do everything that he had in his mind. Because he was just a maybe... They didn't say what age he was, but he couldn't have been no more than 13, 14, something like that. And he had such a good heart for others, for people. And people were doing things for him. But he had such a good heart for his brothers and sisters, and he was concerned about them. And when that whole story got over, I'm crying again. I'm crying. You know, the word says you have not because you ask not. And so I've been asking him, and you know, I don't know if it just started today, but I tell you what, I've been crying half the day because you just felt such compassion. And that's, we're to take that compassion out in these streets, out in this world. I know when we go to the prison, that's what I feel, compassion. I feel the compassion of Jesus for, you know, these men that they've made every wrong decision, and they're there, and their life is going nowhere without Jesus. And so he sends ministry in there to give them the opportunity to be saved. And thank God so many of them are saved. And I know I've heard a lot about prison ministry. Oh, yeah, you know, it's they're saved while they're in there, you know, and just to get good reports and this and that, and then to get out of there. And a lot of that does happen. But there are some that are truly serious that have changed lives. There's two of them at the big church on the Rock right now that are working in the church and growing and learning. So thank God, you know, that he sends people to the prisons and to those down and out places. They have this little couple that I think they've come on Sundays, and they were eating Feed the Community. And I asked Paula about them, and she said, yeah, she said, I think they live in a tent. Oh, my goodness, my heart has just been crushed thinking about someone that's living in a tent. And I think somebody, I don't know if it was Nancy or Paula, said, I think it was Nancy, she said, well, you know, it's from their choices. And it's true. It's from bad choices. And I got to thinking, well, thank God for his mercy and his grace. I made bad choices too. A lot of bad choices. And he just kept wooing me and kept drawing me to him. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And thank God for that. Because I know, I'm sure human beings, you know, people would have just shook their head and said, oh my gosh, there's no hope for her, you know. But thank God, through his mercy, he saw me beautiful. Through his mercy, he sees you beautiful. He doesn't make mistakes, you know. And I know all my life, what I'm saying, I'm sorry, it's just coming from the Lord because I'm just listening. But all my life, I just didn't feel like I was worth very much. Come from a good family, it wasn't that. It was me. And I was so into me. I can't do that. And I did have a learning disability. And I had a terrible time in school. I was the least smart of all of my mom's children, and I was the only girl that graduated. And I was kind of proud of that. That nowadays, I would have never made it. That, you know, with this TOS test and all that stuff, oh, my goodness. But by the grace of God, I graduated. And that was something for me. And only since I've been saved and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit is my teacher. The Holy Ghost is my guide. The Holy Ghost is the one that walks alongside of me. The Holy Ghost is the one that lives on the inside of me. And so praying in my heavenly language and praying, the word of God says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that upbraids not but gives liberally. But if I ask him, ask with nothing wavering, for a double-minded man will receive nothing from God. So when we ask him, we know he's going to answer us, and he's going to give us the answer, whether it's in a sermon or what, however, but he's going to give me the answer. As long as I don't waver and say, oh, well, why would he give me? You know, he will give me the answer. He wants to give us the answer. He has good things for us in our life, but the devil has the opposite. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I tell you what, before I really came to the Lord, that devil was beating up on me one side, down one side and up the other. And I was letting him do it. And I was making all the wrong choices and going all the wrong way. Until I really, really met Jesus. And if you really, really meet Jesus and you're really, really saved, something's gonna change. When I'm in Jesus Christ, I was reading it today. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now that devil will try to remind you of every bad thing, every bad thought in your past. But that's passed away. It's all wiped away. It's nailed to that cross. The ordinances that was against me was nailed to that tree. And the word of God says, I'm innocent through the blood of Jesus. I'm somebody through the blood of Jesus. And I have the mind of Christ. The memory of the just is blessed. I used to pray that a lot, and it works. And I haven't been praying it lately, but I'm starting to pray it again. I tell you what, I'll go to say something and the thoughts just go, and that's irritating, and I don't have to put up with it because the Bible says the memory of the just is bliss. And at the lowest time of my life, Jamie was in high school, her and Michael. You know, when I lost my husband, and Nancy lost her husband, so I've shared a little, you know, some with her. You're devastated. you're in shock, you're in grief, and all of these things. And I believe that's probably the closest I've been to Jesus in my whole walk with the Lord. When you're desperate, you're going to seek the Lord. You're going to wrap yourself around his feet by faith. All I knew is because I faced death, the closest that I had ever faced it in my life. I lost two brothers, and it was devastating. But to lose your soulmate, the father of your children, and the grandfather of your grandchildren, it was devastating. When you've been married, you know, lived all of those many years, it's like you're two peas in a pod, you know. Not that you're, you know, don't squabble sometime, disagree and all that. Everybody disagrees sometime because nobody's perfect but Jesus. He's the husband of your youth. I could look at him, and I know he was gray-haired, and we got wrinkles and all this, but I could look at him, and I could still see that handsome young man I married with that beautiful red hair. And when I met him, I was working at this little hamburger stand, and I was outside cleaning windows, and he came in this real fancy, beautiful car with those wings in the back. You know, and bringing his sister to work. And I looked at him, and he had these cute little sunglasses on, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, he's just so handsome. Well, it went from there, you know. And we just had, I know you can probably look at your husband too, Nancy. You know, no matter how old, the wrinkles or whatever. But you could remember that handsome young man that you were attracted to. And I was just staying in his presence, staying at his feet by faith. I knew, you know, that he's the one that carried my grief and my sorrows. And I would just hold on to him, and I would just cry and pray and praise. And I tell you what, you draw near to him, and he draws near to you. No matter how down you are, he's going to lift you up. And he did do that for me. And I was sitting on the porch one day, and I was just reading the Bible, just not in any, just reading. I just happened to turn to Proverbs, and let me see if I can find it. I wrote it down so I didn't have to find it. Now I can't find it. I know I got it wrote down. Well, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Okay. That's all right. I was sitting on that porch, and I saw a scripture, and it was like the pastor gave a message that Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. My sheep know my voice." And I was sitting on that porch, and I was reading, and all of a sudden, the word, it's like, the only way I can describe it, it's like he lifted that word up, and there it was. And it's like I didn't hear an audible voice, but it just hit me so strong, I knew that I was hearing God's voice. And he said, "I'll destroy the house of the wicked," but he said, "I will..." I'm just gonna find it. Now that's just irritating. I'm just gonna find it. It's in Proverbs. Okay. Nope. That's not it. "I'll destroy the house of the wicked." Yeah. Well, in the name of Jesus. Here it is. I thought I would never forget it, because he spoke it so strong to me. In chapter 15 in Proverbs, verse 25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. And the Lord reminded me, you know, when I lost my husband, he was on retirement. He was on Social Security, but when I lost him, there was no Social Security. Not till I was 60, and I was 57 years old. And when he spoke that to me, I didn't know how he was going to do it or what was going to happen. In the natural, things looked very bleak for me. They didn't look good at all. There was no money there. Well, you have to have some money to live by. I did have a 401k plan that I had to borrow $5,000 of it to pay for my husband's funeral. Yeah. But besides that, there was no money. And when he spoke that to me, it was like I stood for 3 years on that because I knew my God had spoken to me. I'm not saying I didn't have some tough times. I'm not saying that I didn't have some thoughts that would make you go into depression and everything else. So I'm going to read in Ephesians 3:14. This is what I had to do at that time too. The Lord had spoke that scripture to me. I stood on that scripture. My brother, before we even buried him and had the funeral, my brother, and he's a minister, came to me. He said, "Sis, you need to see a lawyer." Well, that was the furthest thing from my mind. His wife has a family member that's married to this big named lawyer in Houston. So that lawyer came down and talked to me. So he took the wrongful death case, because that's how my husband got killed. Someone hopped up on pills and because I had a lawyer, I got my own insurance. And they don't tell you all this. If you have a lawyer, they find out all this stuff. But I got $10,000 from my insurance one time, $5,000 from my insurance another time. Never did find out exactly what it was for, but the lawyer had got it. And then later, I got $20,000 from my insurance. When I would get the money, now in the natural, I'm like, I got to hold on to this. I don't know where the next penny's coming from. I got to hold on to it. And you know, the Holy Ghost knows what you need before you ever ask him, the word says. And when you have a need, you know, King David said, I don't want to give something that doesn't cost me. I think the first $3,000 or $5,000 I got, I was going to hold on to it. That's all there was to it. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me again. I heard the voice of the Lord again. And he said, give the pastors a certain amount of this money. It was a good bit of that money. Well, my flesh like, well, that's my imagination. I got to hold on to this money. But the Holy Ghost rose up in me and said, give him that money. And when he spoke the second time, I knew. I was obedient. I gave that to him. Because I had a great need. He had to get that money out of my hands and put it in his kingdom. Because they had great things that needed to be done. And there was no money. But God owns all the gold and silver and the cattle of 1,000 hills. And he's got ministry for us to do. There's lost souls out there. He's got vision for this house. And if we stay in the Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of the other things will follow. The pastor preached that. I've really been taking to heed what he's been preaching, and I'm asking God, burn it in my heart, because we got a dying world out here that God is sending this church to. I don't know how he's going to do it, but we need to see from the vision, from the first of it, we need to see the end of it. We need to see the people and see the ways that he's going to bring us to bring all of this about, to minister to all these people. And he's going to do it. We're praying in intercessory prayer, aren't we, Nancy? He's going to do it. But it all goes to me seeking his face daily. And thank God, those he loves, he corrects. And I'm 72 years old, but I'm telling you what, I'm not too old to learn. And, you know, we can come to church. We can read the word, you know, some. Watch TV and all this stuff, and you're going and study the word when you got to get a message out there. And then slip off, because I'm tired, I'm this, I'm that. The Lord really has begun, through every message the pastor's been preaching, he's been correcting me. There was a time, especially like after my husband, oh my goodness, listen, I stayed so close to him. And when I was a baby Christian, you couldn't get around me. I just wanted to talk about Jesus, and I was exploding with the word of the Lord, the little bit I knew. You don't have to, you know a whole lot. You just have to know Jesus. He's our teacher. The Holy Ghost is going to teach you, and he wants to use this church. Doesn't matter if you're a baby Christian, just saved, or if you're 72 years old like me. He wants to use us to further the gospel of Jesus Christ in this town. To people that like are in that tent, that broke my heart. I'm like, I'm so cold natured, Lord, I can't imagine somebody in a tent. How in the world, I just couldn't imagine it. But God sees it all. He sees it all. And I believe he's going to begin to give answers of what to do to reach these people. He's got an answer. And as we pray, I believe he's going to give it. Whether it's in a dream at night or whatever. Whether it's going to the park out here, having like a little singing thing or whatever. I don't know what it is, but I know he's going to show us. Because he called this church to minister to the lost, the down and out there. He called us to go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. So I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. He says, if you're faithful in a few things, you're going to be faithful in much. And we have been faithful in our few things. I believe we've done what we know to do. Now I just have to stay connected to him. We have to stay in his presence. We have to seek his kingdom. And then all of the other things will follow. But when I was going through the things in, it's not easy to lose a loved one. But thank God he bore all that on Calvary for me. I can remember at my husband's funeral, the night before the funeral, people were coming to me. And my husband was, to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. I was reading that in Proverbs today. My husband was he loved to visit people. And he would visit his other meat cutters like him all over the place and people. And people just loved him because he was so friendly. They had people to the back of the thing. I mean, just so many people because he showed himself friendly. And people, other Christians, that from the Church on the Rock and different places that ask her, how is everything? Or how are you married? And, all I could say was, I don't understand it, but I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I could truly say that. I was hurting. I was in shock and all this grief and all this stuff. And I could say, I have the peace of God that passes all understanding because someone cared for me enough to pray for me. And that's why we care for this world enough to pray for them. Someone prayed for me when I was making all the wrong choices. I have an older sister. Well, she's just a year older than me. If the Holy Ghost woke her up at 3:00 in the morning, she was going to pray for me. And she prayed until the Holy Ghost released her. She interceded for me. And I can remember, there's parts of my testimony that I was hoping God would never have me speak. But sometimes there's people that need to hear what you have to say. And a few times in the prison, he's had me say part of my testimony. Because all my life I felt inferior, because I fought the lessons in school so badly, and I just felt like I was just dumb. I felt I was awful in arithmetic and the important things in English. That's why you don't see me write too much stuff, because I don't write letters. I have to get a dictionary out to write a letter. And so the devil just had me so convinced that I was just dumb. I was one of my mom's dumb, and I've got a smart mom. That made me feel even dumber, because she's pretty smart. But you know, once I got filled with the Holy Spirit, he let me know, I don't make junk. You are not dumb. You have the mind of Christ. So what if I forget words sometime? And I do. I'm 72 years old, you know. But I have the mind of Christ. And in Ephesians, no, I'm not going to do Ephesians yet. I've got down here, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, he's not going to show us everything he wants to do here in this body. He's not going to show us the whole picture. That's what faith is all about. We take a step. Our pastors have took a step. I mean, they got the building out there. That's a step of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We see the building full. When we're praying an intercessory prayer, we see this building full. Not to have numbers. God's not interested in numbers. He's interested in souls. Hurting souls to be healed and saved and put on the rock Jesus Christ to say, come on, let's disciple you. You can do it. God wants to use you for this dying world. And this church is going to be used. I don't know how exactly, but I from the time I've come here, I was sharing that with Nancy and Violet. It's like, I mean, I love New Life Church on the Rock. Pastor Kenneth Wolfe, Jamie and his daughter were kind of small then, and they just grew. I saw them grow up there. And I loved being there, because after my husband got killed, that's where I went. And they just wrapped their arms. It just made me feel at home. And I knew I was at spiritual in my spiritual home. And so, until the Holy Spirit started pulling me away spiritually, and I didn't understand it. I don't believe in church hopping. Like, you done hurt my feelings. You looked at me crooked, and I'm going somewhere else. I don't want to have nothing to do with you, you bunch of hypocrites. There are people that supposedly your church-going people, you know. That's not the kind of attitude the Lord wants us to take out into this city. People are going to hurt your feelings. People are going to say bad things, but we have to walk in love. And when we walk in love, no matter what, the Bible says that love never fails. The love of God flowing through me never fails. I can be walking in a grocery store, and the Holy Spirit will remind me, watch how you treat those people. Watch how you act to these people. If somebody gets in front of you, cuts you off, and that happens in the grocery store, and he'll always remind me, be careful how you treat that stranger. You might be entertaining an angel unaware. Because we all have angels. They are real. But are they unemployed? We've got angels assigned to us. And we need to recognize that and know that. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And when we go out in this world, yes, things are going to happen. Yes, the devil's going to come against you. I was reading today, casting down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity against Christ, the knowledge of Christ. And I can remember when I was working, it was months before I gave my camp to my son Todd and Ray Lynn. Now, in the natural, that looked crazy to do, because I just lost my husband. I'm in grief. And I felt from the Holy Ghost to give my son Todd that camp. I felt in the Holy Ghost to give my son Craig the business, the hardware store. In the natural, You know, your flesh would want to hold on to that stuff. It's just stuff. Didn't mean anything to me. Those things don't mean anything. You can't bring a thing to heaven with you. You can't bring money to heaven with you. But you can bring souls. We can bring souls. And Jesus told the disciples, I'll make you fishers of men. You go into all the world and make disciples. That's our job at Love and Truth Ministry. And he's not doing it maybe in the way, like a traditional way. I don't know how he's going to do it, but don't y'all find it something's a little different? I sense it. I don't know how to put it in English, but God's doing something here. He's doing something. And he wants us just to be ourselves. Just be yourself. I know I'm too loud and all that stuff. I mean, I got a big mouth. And when I get excited, when you get me in the prison, and I'm just leaning on the Holy Ghost, and I got souls on my mind. I got men that made wrong decisions, and they need Jesus. And the Holy Ghost takes over, and you minister to them. Well, I can get as loud because it's a big room, and sometimes I get loud. But you know what? That's me. I try to hold it down in the church house. But I do have a big mouth. All the OZOs have a big mouth, as Jamie can tell you. But we have to be who we are. You know, I mean, my flesh part of me, I'd like to walk around like Miss Astor, you know, Miss Prissy, and, you know, well, I'm not that way. I'd like to be that way, but I'm not that way. I have to be who he called me to be. Jamie, do you know what time it is? Okay. There were days, and I'm leaning on the Holy Ghost. I got a message here, but I can't help it. Just stuff's coming out of me that I've been crying all day. Y'all just have to forgive me. I can remember when I finally did, gave Todd the camp. Well, it was probably just a lot of trouble to him. They did end up selling it because they had a house, and then here they were stuck with a camp. But anyway, finally, my son had made that hardware into a grocery, and they hired me to work there, and they paid me a little money, so that was something. And I can remember I would be walk in there that morning with the joy of the Lord in me, and just feel His peace and everything, and all of a sudden, we got a real devil that don't like us. And he doesn't want you to walk around in the peace of God that passes all of it. He wants to make you agitated. He wants to make you depressed. But thank God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I would be just, you know, doing my work and whatever. There won't be maybe not people in there. And all of a sudden, I would just feel like I could have fell on the floor. I felt so depressed and so pressed down. I don't even have words to describe it. And when that would happen to me, I always had my Bible under the counter. And I'd just open that Bible and I'd start reading Psalms. I love Psalms. And I tell you what, that would lift up off of me and it would go. And I would bind it in the name of Jesus. But the devil doesn't give up easy. I'd be going along my way, same in a little while, and I'll be if it didn't happen again. And when there wouldn't be nobody in there, I had my Bible open. I'm reading Psalms. If you feel down and out and all this discouraged, you get the book of Psalms out, and you're going to feel really good. And those spirits, the devil's a liar. He's a thief, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And he hates me, and he hates you, because Jesus loves us. Our Father God sent him to die on that cross for our sins and for our life. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I would pray those scriptures when that would come against me, and it would leave. But then he would sneak back in there. I don't know how many days that happened until finally, I guess the devil just gave up on that, because I always had my Bible under that counter, because he don't play fair. years before that, I mean, because of, I just felt so unworthy, it came to a place where I had had a surgery. And I'm not going to describe all of it because it's, but anyway, I should have been given hormones after that, and my doctor was out of town, didn't prescribe anything, and I was just 34 years old. And I went home, and I had, I guess, kind of like a nervous breakdown. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I ended back in the hospital, and it wasn't on the first floor. It was on the second floor in the, I don't know what you call that, crazy part. Psych, yeah. And, you know, my little, here comes my sister from Louisiana, and she comes in that room, and she starts praying. And that devil was trying to take my life. I'm telling you, every which way. And she'd just pray for me and pray for me. And I came out of that, you know, just like Job, you know, the devil accused Job to God. And God said, well, you know, yeah, if you take that hedge of protection away from him, he'll curse you. He'll you know, well, Job never did curse God. And we know all what he went through. It was horrible. The swords and lost his family and everything. And then when he forgot about himself and the pain and everything and started praying for his friends, God healed him. But he did tell the devil, though, when the devil accused, he said, well, you can do all what you want, but you can't touch his life. You can't take his life. And when somebody, when we're praying for our loved ones, our children, our families, and the people in this town, he can do all what he wants to do to them, but he can't take their life. He can't take their life. And thank God, I mean, because all kinds of things happened to me. And I know I'm answered prayer. I walk around, and I'll tell people, because of my sister, and I get really irritated at her sometimes. She's very bossy and dominating person, but I tell you what, she's a prayer warrior, and I love her. So that's why, you know, there's other people out here that are going through the same things I did. In Ecclesiastic, the word says there's nothing new under the sun. They're going through some of the things I did and some of the things you did. You're weren't alone. The devil will try to make you think, oh, well, nobody else would be do something that stupid. Yeah, there are people out there that just make wrong choices, going the wrong way, not seeking God, but seeking their own way. And you get in trouble, and they get in trouble. But the Lord lifts up a standard against the enemy for the children that he created. And I know he's bringing them in here. And I guess that's probably all. I hope I made sense to y'all. I've got all the scriptures that when I was depressed, and the devil will come against you. You can be walking with the Lord and walking in joy, and all of a sudden he'll hit you with something. He doesn't play fair. And when he does, just like that, like the pastor preached, that we hear his voice and know God's voice. King David said in Psalms 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Not only do we hear him, he hears us. When we pray to him, he hears us. This poor man cried in Psalms 34:6. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. There was a time I had some troubles, but God saved me out of them all. In Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. In Psalms 34:17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Not just some, but all of them. Many are the tribulations of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You're never alone. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter, and we're going to go through things. I know our pastors have. I know Jamie has. I certainly have. And he's brought me through every one of them. And he's going to continue to bring us through every one of them as long as we seek his kingdom, stay in his presence, seeking him, reading his word. And he's been doing some correcting on me. I know every sermon the pastors have been given, it's like, oh gosh, I'm just not doing as well as I should be doing. I mean, I should be at his feet 24, I mean, every chance I get. And sometimes I get lazy. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. I mean, sometimes we do get late, at least I do. You know, I'm like, I'm just tired. I don't want to read tonight. I don't want to really pray very much tonight. Hey, they got dying souls out here that need us to pray. And so the Holy Spirit's been correcting me. Thank God, you know, because he's got a work for this body to do. You know, and I tell you what, in intercessory prayer, every time those doors open, we're expectant. Because when we pray, there's no distance in prayer. We pray in secret. He says, pray to me in secret and I will reward you openly. And when we come together and there's two or three or however many there is, you're praying, we're praying in our prayer closet in there in agreement. One can put 1,000, 2, 10,000, and a threefold cord cannot easily be broken. When that door opens every service, I'm expecting something. I'm expecting somebody because they're being called in. The word says, call those things that aren't as though they are. We got to stand up and call them here. We got to be in agreement in his word. I have to agree in his word. My heart has to be agreement in his word.